All right, so I just want to say thank you for this opportunity. I really do appreciate it. I've not had the ability to get up and preach in front of anyone in a very long time, so I'm actually really looking forward to this. So thank you, Pastor Barry. Thank you, Connection Point Church, for this opportunity of letting me be here and letting me do this today. All right, so my first question to everyone is, has anyone ever had that time when you're looking at God and you're like, I don't have anything left in me, I've given everything I've got, and everybody just keeps asking for more. They want me to volunteer more at the church, my work's asking me to put in extra hours at work, my kids don't understand that I've got to work so that I can feed them. When I get home, I'm tired, but they still want to play. I don't have anything left to give, and I'm still being expected to give more. I just want to give up right now. Has anybody been there? Where you're just like, I don't have any, there's no more of Daniel to give out. Like, I'm done. God, I am all done with this year. It has been rough. It has been hard. Everybody wants more. If the rapture were to happen right now, I would be good. It could just come. I would be gone. It would be all over with. I would be with you. I would be happy. No more stress. No more problems. No more day-to-day horrible things that I have to deal with that always seem to come up at the most inopportune times. I'm just saying, it has been that kind of year. Just to hit a couple of the highlights of our year, I'm going to share with you some personal experience. The beginning of the year, many of you know, my wife went through cancer surgery. After that, our landlord told us they were selling our house. So then we had to pack up and move right after my wife started getting better. Well, that meant actually finding a salon for her to work in too, because she was currently working from our home. Well, she wasn't allowed to do that anymore. On our way to move, our truck got totaled. It has been a year, just to highlight some things. I mean, one, right back to back to back to back. And those times come when it's really inopportunistic. And we want to look at God and say, God, I want to glorify you. I want to finish strong. But if I'm being honest right now, I'm just not feeling it. I ain't got nothing left. Paul sat in a very similar time as that. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Our text is actually come from Philippians 1, verses 19 through 26. Before we get started, I'm going to pray though. Father, I ask you that as I bring this word that you've laid on my heart today, and this text in the scripture, Father, I ask you to make it plain, make it come out in a way that's understood. I ask for receptive hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So like I said, Paul was sitting in a place where he had that thought process. This is really hard. This is really difficult. I'm at my end. I've done everything I think that you've asked me to do that I can physically do on my own. And we've all been there. And it's not a bad place to be. It happens. But we're going to go to our text now. Verse 19, and this is out of the ESV. It says, for I know that through your prayers, with the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but will with full courage, now as in always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by my life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, this means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. We see here that Paul is driven by a desire to glorify God and to finish strong. He has stepped beyond the rough circumstances at his life. Paul is writing this letter to the Philippians from prison. He's not got a great life at the moment. People are telling him what he's eating, what he's wearing, if he can go anywhere from where he is at. His life is completely out of his hands. But somehow God has aligned it for him to write these letters to the churches. So he's taking time to glorify God and finish strong in this period of time. This text, I believe, gives us three very strong characteristics of what a strong, God-glorifying finisher is. And I'm going to share them with you today. The first characteristic of a God-glorifying, strong finisher is they don't quit. Verse 20 says, it's my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. He wanted in anything he did for Christ to be honored. Paul never once thought about the fact that I'm just going to quit Jesus. If I quit preaching and I quit being a disciple right now, and I quit telling people about this Christ, they'll have no reason to persecute me, and I can go on my merry way and live my life. Never once did that thought process even cross his mind that I'm going to quit Christ. He was beyond that. He didn't want to quit. He wanted that when he was done, to hear that, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." He wanted to know that he didn't quit, that he pushed beyond that, because he realized that quitting didn't mean getting to the end of his strength. It meant getting to the end of the task that God had set out for him. Far too often, myself included, we get to the end of our physical strength and expect, "Well, I finished strong, God. The rest of it's up to you. I'm just going to wait for you to take care of it." Well, there's an aspect of relying on God that's there. But there's also an aspect that said, God said, this is the end of your task. You got to remain faithful with me to the end of that task. That's what not quitting's about. And strong finishers don't quit. The fact that Paul would rather die as a martyr, not he didn't want to die and just be done with it. He was willing to die as a martyr to glorify Christ. That means he's a strong finisher because he didn't quit. All right, characteristic number two. The second characteristic of a strong finisher, they're willing to put their personal desires aside. Because this glorifies God in a big way. The moment Paul's writing this, he's in jail. He's been beaten. Paul's been stoned in his ministry. He's been ran out of town. He's had people talk bad about him. He's had rival preachers trying to steal his ministry as such. Actually, he thinks that's a good thing because they're still glorifying God. But people are coming against him in many ways. It's not been pleasant for him. So his personal desire, as we read already, we're going to go back to it, verses 21 through 24. He says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me." So he knows if he continues to live, he's going to press on. It's going to be fruitful labor, and he's okay with that because he wants to glorify God. But it says to die is to gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better for me. But to remain in the flesh is necessary on your account. You see, Paul had a desire at that point in time, sitting in prison, his life being controlled. The only thing he had the ability to do at this moment to glorify God was just stay strong, not quit, put his personal desires aside, and continue to write the churches and try to edify them. So he stood there in this moment of desperation in his life. And he took that time to glorify God. He said, "I'm going to finish this strong, whether I'm in jail, whether I'm free. I'm going to put my personal desire aside because I want to go be with Christ. I want to be done right now. I want to say, Lord, let me go. I'm all done. I've done what you've asked me to do. These guys say that I don't get to do it anymore. So I'm done. I did what you asked. Can you take me now?" Unfortunately, fortunately for him, he saw the bigger picture. That he wasn't finished, that there was more to do. There was more that the ministry of Christ called of him. So he took this time to glorify Christ and actually challenge the churches that were supporting him and providing him funds and things while he was in jail. They were supporting his ministry and he's in jail. And what's he doing? He's challenging the churches. He's writing them letters to encourage them, to provoke them, to keep them going, because he's put his personal desires and the things he wants for his life aside for the ministry of Christ. He knows that where he's at the moment is not his finish point. So let's recap really quick. First characteristics, we don't quit. Strong God-glorifying finishers don't quit. Strong God-glorifying finishers put their personal desires aside. Number three, the third characteristic of a strong God-glorifying finisher, they serve the church. He says in verse 24, "But to remain in the flesh is necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you will have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again." What that meant to them was he knew he wasn't done in prison. He knew he thought he was going to get to go back. "I'm coming back to you, so that's going to be a greater testimony. God's going to see me through this. Your prayers, my prayers, God's going to see me through this. I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to have an even greater testimony because I've gotten brought through stuff and got to come back, and I'm going to get to help you serve your church again." Paul stepped outside of his horrible circumstances in life to serve the church. He continued to encourage. He continued to edify. He rebuked some of the churches. He brought them words from Christ. He spent time in prayer over these letters. I guarantee it. He wanted to make sure that his ministry didn't stop because the circumstances around him says you have to stop. Christ doesn't work like that with us. But as you can see here, he did set in a time where it would be very easy to go, I'm at my end. I don't know what else to do. I've done everything I've been asked, and everywhere I've gone, everything I've been asked to do has seemed to meet a dead end. Horrible circumstance after horrible circumstance after horrible circumstance, and now I'm sitting in prison. Can I just be done this time? But it didn't happen. And I told you earlier, it's not a bad thing to get to that point. Christ even got there. When I was going through this text, Barry and I were talking, and we had a moment where we're like, oh, really? Yes, we can do this. Because Christ did it. He did the same thing. When he sat in the garden in Gethsemane and he prayed to God, he's like, God, I want to do what you want me to do, but if there's another way, if there's another way that I don't have to go through this for this to be completed, let it be. But as it goes, not my will, but yours be done. That's the whole concept of what Paul's trying to relive here for the churches as his example. He wanted to be like Christ. He wanted to not quit. He wanted to put his personal desires aside. He wanted to serve the church, no matter what the cost, whether it meant through his life or his death. I believe that we can model that. I believe that here at Connection Point, we're a new church. We can give up extra time for each other to help edify each other, to help lift each other up, to serve each other as a church. We cannot quit just because it's been difficult. You know, we've had a lot of changes just in this past year. We've had growth. We've had building change. We've had opportunity for people to be uncomfortable, for changes in ministry aspects of things. But this is a point in time where we get to say, we're going to be strong, God-glorifying finishers. Not just strong finishers, but God-glorifying. That's the point of this. We get to see that Paul wanted to glorify God as Jesus did. That was his heart's desire, was to glorify God the way that Jesus did. He wanted to not quit. He wanted to put his personal desires aside, because he wanted to be done just like Jesus did and say, can I just go and we'll figure this out another way? But he didn't. He stayed. And he wanted to serve the church. Jesus died on the cross for us to serve it, to serve as our church, to help us develop this. Paul wrote back to the churches to serve them, to tell them, I'm going to come back to you, so it's going to give you an even greater cause. You're going to have an even greater example through me of what God can do, what Christ can do for you. And I just think that as new of a church as we are, if we take these three characteristics and we apply them to our lives, apply them to our church and the ministry that we have here, we have an amazing opportunity to grow. Paul had a very difficult ministry. We don't face near the challenges that he did. And so as long as we can continue to put Christ first in our ministry, serve our churches, put our personal desires aside, and number one, we don't quit, God will be glorified in everything that we do. God will be glorified in Connection Point Church. And the ministries that we set forth, they won't fail because they're based on the principles that God has taught us. So I thank you for your time this morning. I thank you for letting me do this. That's what's on my heart. Father, I ask you that as we've spoken today and as I've spoke the words you've given me, that you let them resonate deep, Lord God. Father, you make them come out clearly, and Father, that it just be well received. In Jesus' name, amen.